Hi there, and welcome to Let's Slow Down, a podcast for all of you who feel tired and stressed from this overwhelming world. Here we'll have fun, inspiring conversations about living life on our own terms and explore ways to ease the pace of our modern world, because life really is good when you're relaxed enough to be present for it. I'm your host, Anne-Marie Stolting, and I welcome you to this space where I hope to inspire you to slow down, because life is too short to let it go by in a blur. So take a deep breath, relax, and enjoy the show. Welcome to another episode of Let's Slow Down. Today, my guest is Shira Samaroff. She's a licensed clinical social worker and founder of Heart and Soul Coaching and Consulting. Shira has decades of experience working with many diverse groups of people, and she focuses on a wide variety of topics in her work. We are going to specifically talk about one of my favorite topics today, which is decluttering. And Shira likes to call it transformative decluttering, which I love. So welcome to Let's Slow Down, Shira.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here. And I love the title of your podcast. I think it's
incredible. Why, thank you. What inspired you to, you know, start embracing and sharing everything that you do in heart and soul coaching, and specifically transformative decluttering?
Yeah, such a good question. It was a surprise to me, I'll say that, which I think is beautiful. And that is some of the heart and soul of the work that I do is helping people lean into unexpected possibility. Because that
is usually the best ones, right?
Yes, absolutely. You know, the thing that most, wait, what? You know, it's that's the thing to follow, because that's often where our deepest knowing is speaking to us. So if you had asked me, you know, 10 years ago or longer, would I ever be doing this? I would think you're crazy. So, but it's evolved through a long journey of life and my work. You know, I have a background as a social worker. I worked in community-based organization, done therapy with people, done a whole range of group and individual work with a wide diversity of people in a wide diversity of settings. And at some point, this is something that's always interested me and something that I've been, I think, had skill at thinking about. And so actually, while I had left a workplace I'd been at for many years and knew it was time to leave, although it was beautiful work, I was like, oh, I'll just do this for a little while I'm figuring out what's next. And so I started doing this work with people and quickly discovered this is really potent, potent work process, really life-changing, really world-changing. And I just been learning so much and able to do so much and see so much through the work that I just got really excited about it and saw the depth of it. And so then I created this business of heart and soul coaching and consulting, which has a variety of offerings, including transformative decluttering.
It is so powerful. And I think anytime we, and I've learned this as well, especially over the last few years, we kind of dig deeper into those things that really like light a fire in us and give us that energy. We need to 100% lean into those things. And I think that that's really a way to share our gifts with the world. I think those things that do really inspire us like that so strongly are our gifts.
Yeah, I agree. And it's so, you know, this work so connects with everything else that I do. And, you know, I don't call myself an organizer because that's not what I do. And that's actually not how I think about it. I actually think organizing is counterproductive, and I can talk some about why I think that. But the decluttering, it's, you know, we work on the physical things, but it's much, much deeper than that. And that is the work of really helping people tune into themselves and clear out what's in the way of living fully, of living the lives they're meant to, clearing out emotionally, clearing out and bringing in, you know, redirecting like how actually do I want to be living and am meant to be living? And that's really powerful. And all my work does that. And this is a really interesting and potent way to do it. And it's really misunderstood and undervalued. I'm sure you know that and experience that, you know, for many people, it's very hard to step into this work for a few reasons. One is people underestimate how difficult it is. It's emotionally challenging. It's seen as like work in the women's realm and home. And that work is generally completely undervalued and under or unpaid work. And that work is often the most, you know, what is more important than tending to home, the spaces where we live and
some people raise children and, you know, nourish, and so many things happen in home that tending to that space, it's like the base of where we live, is actually really, really important. But it's not understood how important, and because it's not societally honored, there's not time for it, there's not space for it, there's not financing for it. So it's often not tended to. And then it's really hard to do. And people don't know that, and people try to do it on their own, or think they're supposed to do it on their own, which you can't really, because it's too intense to do. And we're not meant to do anything alone. We're relational beings. But so that's one thing I've really noticed, how hard it is for people to decide to step into it.
And I think a lot of people think of it as just talking about decluttering, like you said, maybe they don't have the time, or it's like, oh, whatever, I'll get to it. It's not really that important, because they think of it as just like, I don't know, or having an organized closet, having a California closet or something like that out of HGTV. And it's not that at all, at least in my definition, and I think yours as well. And they don't see the value of it beyond like the superficial part that they can just see around them. They don't realize the immense impact it has on our social and emotional well-being, as in addition to having a decluttered space home that supports us. So I think it's that education piece. You know, I'm a former teacher. I think so much of life and the lessons that we learn goes back to the why, and educating people around the whole story, the whole concept. And then they're like, oh, yeah, that is really important. Actually, I didn't look at it that way, or I didn't realize. Yeah. So, you know, that's why it is so helpful to have the support of someone who has studied this and has experience and is a coach such as yourself. So awesome, awesome work that you're doing. Thank you for doing it. How about we talk about, I know you've worked with a lot of people. So what are some of the biggest challenges that you and, you know, your clients, I'm sure there's a lot of common threads with all the people that you work with. What are some of these challenges in decluttering?
Yeah, there's a lot. And one, I'll just say one more piece about the where it's hard for people to step into, where people feel like they don't have time for it. You know, even some people can't even tell that it's a thing worth tending to at all. But some people are like, oh, I wish I could do that. I know that'd be good, but I don't have time because I have to do all these more important things, without realizing that tending to this will actually change everything and make everything else go better. And I love talking with you because you're so clear about, you know that, you feel that inside. And that's something that I know so well from my own experience and from working with so many people around it and just seeing the impact that, and this is a big part of the work I do is helping people, and that I've done myself. Everything I offer is work I've done in myself, or and am continuing to do, because it's the only way I can actually genuinely help other people with it. And so reconnecting with ourselves and noticing ourselves and noticing how we feel, and that's a huge part of this work. And I love that you said spaces that support us, because that's how I think about it. The whole point of this is creating spaces that support us in our lives. And that changes everything. And so noticing, one is just working with people to notice, to even just notice, like I'll go into someone's home with them and just ask questions and really listen and notice. And they'll suddenly realize like, oh, this couch that I've had for 10 years, I don't like at all. It feels terrible, you know, or things that like just weren't connected enough to even notice, this thing that actually that has a big impact. That physically has a big impact energetically. And that's also symbolic of all the other things that we're not noticing in our lives.
Sure. I think that's the slowing down piece. We're oftentimes just going and reacting to everything in our life. We're on that hamster wheel and just moving so fast that we don't necessarily take the time to take that step back and think about like, okay, yeah, every time I go to relax, like this couch bothers me. So what is that doing to that energy, right? It's not supporting you to relax and restore yourself and chill. It's frustrating you. So that's why I'm so passionate about slowing down, because I think it's like step one, do that first, take that step back, and then you can see everything a little bit clearer and figure out, okay, well, this room doesn't feel great to me, but what do I need to do or change to make it feel better?
Yeah. And I think, you know, in terms of what people bump up against in this is a few things. One is overwhelm. That's huge. And that's something collectively, there's just such immense overwhelm everywhere. Mm-hmm. And so we just carry this big overwhelm of, oh, I can't do that. It's too overwhelming. And that stops, you know, people from even stepping into the process. And so there's a few ways that I address that, but that's one piece. Shame is another big piece for people. Almost everyone I worked with was like, oh, I'm ashamed to have, you're going to think it's like the worst. And I would walk in. I mean, first of all, I don't think that way. So I'm not coming, even if there were things all over the place. But generally, that wasn't the case. You know, we all carry so much shame for our struggles. And so then we don't show them and then we don't work on them. And that is a huge piece. And that this work gets to do at some point, I started calling it de-shaming work. Like that's really a huge piece of what this is, because it's clearing shame and knowing that we're just right and good just as we are. So this like one thing that's really important, because some people orient towards it in a way that's like, oh, I need to fix myself. I need to organize my house because it's messy and that's bad. And that's not at all what this is at all. It's not about fixing and it's not about making neater even. You know, you could have a house that looks quote messy, but that's just right for you because it's set up in a way that's supportive. So shame and overwhelm are really, really, really big things that keep us, and they feed on themselves. So when we don't go towards them, they just get bigger, as opposed to when we bring in support, both internally and externally, when we can be compassionate and supportive of ourselves and bring in others with us, that allows that to dissolve. So yeah, that's one thing why I love doing workshops also in groups, because always, I mean, on any topic, but definitely on this one, people always come away stunned that, oh, I'm not the only one who struggles with that, you know, and that's huge.
Yeah.
It's such a huge thing. And that's so powerful that when people hear, you know, and that's so generative for what people can do. So those are two big pieces. There is possibility for us. So often, like I'm not going to even notice the couch because it wouldn't even occur to me that there could be something different. And that's true with so many conditions in our lives and certainly the things. I mean, this is unconscious process. This happens for all of us. And this happens for me. Suddenly I'll notice something. I'm like, how have I been living with that? That's like had a huge impact, but I didn't even notice because I wasn't connected to enough about myself. And some part of me didn't imagine that things could be different. So that's a huge part of what I bring also is visioning, like really tuned into what's your vision? What really would you want? If you had a space that really supported you, you know, what do you really love to do? Set up your space in a way that supports what you do. Maybe you don't need a couch at all or a dining room table because you want a dance floor and you want a big open space because that's what you love to do. And that's what whoever you live with or if it's with yourself loves to do, then do that. You know, that there's just like wide possibility and that's what having somebody else come in can help open, because we can't do that on our own generally. So, and then one other piece, which you had mentioned before we started, which attachment to things and so many reasons why we're attached to things that really confuse us, you know, about
so much. Yeah. And I was telling you, and Rachel, this is for you and many of my other listeners that have asked this question, you know, what advice do you have for people trying to declutter and sort through sentimental items? A lot of our listeners are of an age where, you know, parents might be passing at this point and they're inheriting these things from a lifetime of stuff. And there's so like the attachment to it, but like then the guilt of, do I get rid of it? Or, you know, and a lot of this stuff is sitting in people's attics and it's just sitting there. So to me, that's not doing much. You're the professional. What do you tell people that are struggling with this? What advice can you offer? Maybe things to consider.
And Rachel, you are so not alone and lovely to meet you. Yeah, no, it's so common and it's huge attachment to parents, things, parents who've transitioned, you know, who've died. That's huge. And things from our past also, gifts, those are like, you know, some of the really big things that people don't feel like they can let go of or can't tell. And so there's a few things. One is being just kind and tender with self. That is that's across the board with every bit of work. It just doesn't work otherwise. And there's so much that encourages the opposite of that, you know, of being hard. We have to make ourselves do these things. Like I've basically eliminated the word should, that it's either we get to or we don't, we think we're supposed to and then we're not actually, you know, and that's whatever.
Just to mention. I didn't tell her to say that, guys, because I say that all the time. I'm like,
that's awesome.
To get rid of Chef.
I adore you.
Leon, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I did have to mention.
No, please. No, that's a beautiful interruption. And I knew from the minute we talked on the phone that I resonated with you. And there's been so many moments of that. So I love that. I love that. Yeah, I think that's really important. And that just gets in the way, you know, all the ways that we treat ourselves. And we come by it honestly. It's just we internalized the dysfunctional patterns in society. But that really needs to shift, because that's not a way to move forward with anything. I fall into that completely. Like, and I'm noticing, like, why isn't this going well? Because I'm beating myself up while I'm doing it and, you know, driving myself. And that's not a way that anything can flourish. And so that's one thing, being kind with self. But exploring, and this is one of the things I love about your topic and slowing down, is really important. And it feels really challenging, because then we feel what's in us. And that ultimately is much easier than not, but it doesn't feel easier because we're so collectively oriented towards numbing. And there's so many ways to do that that are everywhere and so practiced, so many ways of numbing. And I get it. I want to do that too. But ultimately, it's so much worse, because all that we're numbing to is inside us, impacting us. We're just disconnected from it. But when we slow down, it took me years to be able to slow down, to go. When I would go for walks or ride my bike, even when I was living in Brooklyn, you know, I would always be plugged in. I'd either be listening to something or talking on the phone. And at some point it started shifting as I started clearing some of the emotions in me and getting more connected to myself, that I could just be with myself. And that was very transformative. And it can feel very hard to do, because then we feel what's in us, which is not always comfortable. And
yeah. And people don't realize how many ways they are, like, you know, I think when you say like, oh, you're numbing your feelings, like people immediately think of like through food or alcohol or like a drug or something. But there are so many other ways that we do that, that are kind of like very much accepted and keeping super busy and not sitting for a minute with yourself or with your family. Like, I think people do it with their children as well. They have them so overscheduled that they don't ever have just a night to sit with them and be like, what's going on in your life? Like, talk to me. Let's hear it. Same thing with our marriages, just all of our relationships. The most important one being the relationship we have with ourselves.
Yes.
Slowing down and not having so much stuff around us that we can't think clearly. Like, all of this stuff falls into that realm of numbing what's really going on inside.
I love that you said that, because I think the other things are big things, you know, alcohol, other drugs are, you know, there's so many other ways, you know, TV, food, but keeping busy. I mean, I was late to meet with you today because I was trying to do 100 things at once. And just when you said that, I'm like, oh, probably because I was nervous about doing this interview and I couldn't stop to be with my own emotions and other things just in life, that I was like, got to do 100 things.
We all do it. Yeah,
absolutely. And relationship with self. I love that you said that. That is so key. And that's really key to this work also. And around the holding on to things is tuning into our relationship with ourselves. And so when something feels sentimental, when we have an emotional attachment to something, that either when someone ever feels rigidly like, I cannot let this go, I always try to poke a little bit, poke gently. And I'll just say, I don't ever come in assuming that I know what's right for people. My process is helping people tune into their own knowing. You know, I can notice things sometimes like, that's not working for you. You know, tune into that. But I don't know what actually is the right thing. I might have ideas, but often when I offer ideas, it helps people open to, oh, something could be different. And then they come up with their own ideas that I never would have even thought of. And so my job is to offer the space and to help people tune into that. I think that's really important, that this is an empowering experience for people of, we all have our own knowing. We don't need someone to come in and do this for us. That's very disempowering and ultimately creates a space that's not ours. I used to actually, when I first started, before I started doing this professionally, I would like go and organize people's homes for them, because I could whip somebody's home, quote, into shape really easily. And I was like, that's so great and helpful. But it's not actually. It's very disempowering. And then it's not theirs and it's not what they've created themselves. But it was interesting learning for me. So just to say that we have our own knowing and that gets to be spacious. There's no right or wrong. There's no should. There's no ways
our homes are supposed to look, but everyone is holding on to things that do not support us. And that those are the questions. Does this make your life go better now? Does this support you? Does this feel good? Those really, to me, are the only reasons to have something. There's often, I think actually Marie Kondo said this. She has some good wisdom, you know, the woman who wrote the book.
Life-changing magic of tidying up.
Right. It's not really about tidying, but she has some really good thoughts. And one was that people hold on to things because holding on to the past and fear of the future, something like that. And one piece is that we're afraid of losing ourselves or losing something. You know, so I have this sweater of my grandmother's who died. How could I possibly get rid of that? But I don't actually like the sweater. I don't wear it. So what is it that I'm really needing there? I miss my grandma. So there's some leftover grieving to do. And moving through the grieving, then I get to remember I have my grandmother. It's not about this material item that I don't even like. How is that the energy I want, you know, connecting?
And you know what? Your grandmother might not have even liked it that much. Like, yeah, she might have owned it, you know? I look at it a lot of times as like, okay, it's still a sweater. Like, it's still just stuff. That is not grandma. Mm-hmm. As much as, you know, you love, adore, miss your grandma, that is not her.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that what you're saying is like so spot on to really getting to the heart of it all, because your grandma's inside of you. She's a piece of you. It's those memories. You know, maybe you owe yourself a couple hours of just looking through old pictures or just sitting back and thinking about your childhood and times that you spent with her and how that made you feel, and let yourself feel those things again and miss her and reminisce, but also have a piece of gratefulness in there and just appreciate that you had such an amazing person in your life and how, you know, she molded you into the person you are today. That, to me, that's really honoring the memory of someone, and much more so, and much, much more, I think, in just a coming from a place of grace and just who they really are as a person and not just their things.
Yeah, absolutely. And allowing ourselves just to feel and to trust that, you know, just what you said, that every part of our past is in us. And even if we don't like consciously remember something, it's in us and it's okay. Like, we're not, you know, the fear of losing something is just that. It's not actually real. We can't lose those things. And also, it's important to go through the letting go and the grieving process. You know, I left this workplace, an organization I'd been at for 15 years that will always be so deep in my heart. It was very meaningful. And that was who I was at that time. And saying goodbye to that, I needed to allow for that goodbye, because you can't move on otherwise. And so often we don't do that because it feels too hard. It feels like it feels too hard. It's actually much harder not to, but to allow. You know, I'm going through some big life transitions right now, and it's hard to allow space to feel them, but it's so much harder when we don't, that I am, because as I do feel the tenderest places, it just opens up more space for what's next, for bigger life, for more open heart. And that's what we get to do when we say goodbye to things. That's one really big piece, is when we let go of something that we really need to let go of, it opens space for what really is meant to be there and what we get to have. And we can't see that going in. And that's the hard part of letting go. We only can see and feel what we're letting go of and not what gets to come in its place. That's one thing I'll just throw in that I realized through the work is often, you know, so this person with the sofa, okay, now I realize I don't like it. I got to figure out what's going to replace it before I send it away. It's actually the opposite. You can't tell what fills a space until that space is cleared. If something is there that doesn't, just like when I left that workplace, I thought I was going to do something completely different than what I'm doing now. I never could have visioned what I'm doing. And at that time, I didn't know about just walking into open space yet. That was too scary. So I think I needed to be like, oh, this is what I'm going to do next. That's not at all what I did. But I couldn't know that until I was out of that. And until I left Brooklyn, New York, where it will always be my home, but I don't live there anymore. And now I have lived in other parts of the United States. And so that's one thing, is to allow letting go of something without replacing it. And okay, you don't have a sofa for a while. That's okay.
What will you have? What will you have instead of that, right?
Yeah. And it's beneficial to have open space. It's like slowing down. I mean, it's just that. It's really making space to tune in and bring in. So the other thing, you know, especially around parents who die or even who are alive who've given us that. I mean, this is true about gifts in general, but also those relationships are complex. They're not often easy or simple. And so there's a whole complexity of emotions in there. And that needs to get worked through, gets to get worked through to really be clear. And that can get tangled up in the stuff. And there can be the unresolved emotions of our parents or grandparents that got put on us of, well, you have to keep this, you know, either when they're alive or not when they're alive, you know, that often happens. People are like, well, my mother-in-law gave me this, or, you know, my father, I have to keep it or they'll feel bad or something. Even if the other person feels that way, it's not actually honoring them to do that if it's not right for us. And that is really important to really tune in. Does this make my life go better? Do I want this? There's no shoulds. It's not dishonoring anyone, no matter how much it meant to that person or that person felt it meant to them. It's not dishonoring them. It's honoring them to be true to yourself. And that is really important, but that's often hard because we feel guilt or shame or regret. And that's just emotions to clear that gets attached to the stuff. But if you're holding something that doesn't work for you, that is in the way, in a huge way. And knowing that we're not dishonoring anyone by letting anything go at all. We're really not by doing.
I think that if we had a chance to talk to those people again, they would want us to be living authentically and true to ourselves. And that is, you know, at the heart of it. I know that's what I want for my kids moving forward. Like, just be yourself, and hopefully I can give them what they need to get there. And, you know, I'm sure that that's what our family members want for us as well, because that's really love. That's the definition of love. And we have to remind ourselves those things. Like, well, if I could have that conversation with them again, they probably would be like, it's just a sweater. It's fine. Don't worry about it.
Right.
But giving ourselves that permission and just the space to go through that process. This is very helpful, Shira. This is really, really helpful. I think it's going to help a lot of people wrap their heads around some of these, the harder pieces of, you know, decluttering our lives. So the stuff, the physical stuff, all the mental stuff is way bigger, way harder, way more impactful.
Yeah.
I would say as we wind down, I'm getting from you that there's just so many questions that we could benefit asking ourselves and sitting with, and, you know, whether you're a journaler or just allow yourself to think through some of this stuff. As we wind down today, can you leave our listeners with maybe one more question that could help provide some clarity with, all right, I'm feeling a little stuck with things. I know I have some clearing out to do. What's one great thing to think about as they start this?
Yeah, there's a couple of thoughts I have. One other piece I'll say about letting go. When we let go of things that don't belong with us, it doesn't only benefit us, but it means those things go where they belong. And we may not even know. We might donate it and it goes to someone we never meet or never know, but it's going somewhere where it belongs. So that's one thing. The other is allowing what's true to be there and allowing what you know to come through and allowing to prioritize what will make your life go better. But the other thing just is that this is really important and we can't do it alone. So often I would work with someone and then I would see them again for the next session. They're like, oh, I thought I was going to do all these things, but I didn't. And then criticize themselves for it because we think we're supposed to do things on our own that actually aren't meant to do on our own and are too hard. So I think whether you hire a professional or have friends come join you or some other way, but this is not meant, it can't be done alone. And so just know that we get to, like in every part of our lives, we get to have people in with us. And the other piece is in terms of the overwhelm, anything you do makes a difference. One thing, if you have a spoon in your drawer or a piece of a notebook or anything, and you just notice and tune in, I actually want this. And clear it out of your home, send it on its way. That makes a difference. That has an impact. And just that act of tuning in, just that, because then that makes you more tuned into everything. And you've cleared something which has made space and cleared out something that's impacting you. So to know that also, it's not like you have to go and do the whole thing at all.
I have found that like those baby steps in the beginning really can start to create momentum. And as you start to feel these, the impacts of it all, it snowballs in a good way. And then you're like, okay, now I'm ready. You feel that after effects, like, oh, I feel like I have a little bit more space. I feel like I can think a little clearer. Now I'm ready. I want more of that. I'm ready to tackle something that's bigger. So I try to think that way a lot. And I have people that have asked me for advice. I've said the same, just like baby steps. And because as you mentioned, I think this is a great way to circle back to, you know, what we were talking about in the beginning is just that overwhelm. It can feel so big and so hard that we don't want to start at all, right. But just start. And it doesn't have to be perfect. Like you said, it could be one thing. Just start with the easiest thing that you can think of off the top of your head so that there's not a lot of emotions attached to it. And there's nothing too,
right.
too crazy, especially in the beginning. But then you'll get there if you want to. And if there's a need for that, you will get there. So just going slow and at our own pace. I have to remind myself that pretty often because we have so many ideas and plans and especially this episode is airing in the beginning of January, all these new resolutions and intentions for our year. And while they're all amazing and you may accomplish all of them, you're not going to get there if you don't just start by taking little steps. You do not have to do it all in one, yeah. in 1 month, in 1 day.
Right.
You can.
And those steps are not small. You know, I had this thought in a conversation, another podcast conversation I had. This came to me when we were talking about baby steps. The baby steps are huge, actually. To take a first step, that is huge.
Yeah. yeah.
To honor everything we do that might seem small, but really is not.
Yes. So true. Shira, I'm going to link everything in the show notes as to where to find you, but I know you have something exciting that you're offering very soon. So please share.
Yeah. So I welcome people to reach out, explore my website. It's my name, shirasamroff.com. I'm on Instagram. I'm like a little bit on Facebook. And I do a whole range of work, coaching with women. I do authentic leadership coaching, professional development, a range of other offerings that I have as well. And I do this work, transformative decluttering, one-on-one with people. I also offer workshops, and I have a workshop coming up in January. Sunday, the 14th. Is a workshop, and those are beautiful spaces to come together and get support around this. And I would welcome anyone to join and check it out. And that's on my website. And you're welcome to reach out to me directly. I would love to hear from and support anyone who's interested in engaging in any of this work. So
thank you, Shira. This is great information for all of us to start the new year with. And your workshop sounds incredible. So I will make sure that everyone can easily find that information and find you. Thank you so much for sharing all of your wealth of information and your story with us today.
Thank you so much. It was so great to talk with you and excited to just resonate so much around this really potent, transformative topic.
I hope you enjoyed today's episode and have been inspired to slow down and start living life at your own pace. As a brand new podcast, your listener voice matters. If Let's Slow Down is resonating with you, please take a minute to leave a review and rate us. Subscribe to the show wherever you listen and share it with friends. Remember, this is a process, so go easy on yourself. Be gentle and take all the space you need to thrive because the world needs you to be at your best, to love and serve others and yourself.